tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to the second episode of our new season. I'm Ryan Ragazine, and today we're going to be talking about mediating thinking. In church history and the history of Christianity, the English Reformation, marking the dawn of the Anglican Church, the Church of England, has often been interpreted as a via media, a middle way or path between Roman Catholicism and traditional or continental Protestantism. Members of the Church of England would argue that Anglicanism avoids the extremes of both Catholicism and Reformed or Lutheran Protestantism, while seeking to unify and hold together basic precepts and truths on both sides. I suppose one could say that Anglicanism is a kind of mediating and dialectical Christian sect and church tradition. We unfortunately rarely find mediation, middle ground, and common ground in the political arena today. I mean, the political sphere is probably the best example of polarized and extreme thinking. Much has been written about the fact that outside of the Civil War period, this might be the most divided and polarized our society has ever been. Lack of mediating thinking is one of the main reasons I'm apathetic about politics and view political discourse as largely unfruitful and unproductive. As I've mentioned before, I believe that many of the greatest thinkers to ever walk the earth were mediating thinkers. They were dialectical thinkers, whereas our culture is largely stuck in polarizations. They were extremely detailed and nuanced thinkers, whereas our culture is often lacking in nuance. They engaged in complicated, complex reasoning, whereas the reasoning of our culture is often overly simplistic. And they interacted thoughtfully and reflected critically with information and data. Whereas our culture often interacts with info in a knee-jerk, impulsive, and surface-level manner. The great thinkers were guided by reason and a sincere search for what is true, not by personal bias and partisanship, or exclusive emotion, or what subjectively feels right and good, or what is most convenient for me. Thinker Sensitive is a podcast with many values. One of our central values is mediation. In this podcast, we'll continually try to model true mediating thinking, though always imperfectly. Because our society is becoming more and more divided, polarized, radicalized, and militant, mediating thinkers, or bridge builders, or centrists, are becoming more and more rare. I think we might actually be getting to the point where dialectical thinkers become disliked, shunned, and looked down upon. I think it's already happening to a certain extent, as I've personally experienced it in various settings. Mediating thinkers are outcasts and foreigners in a world of extreme polarization. This is the case in both political and theological circles, as we are too liberal for conservatives and too conservative for liberals. Again, I've experienced this kind of thing in both spheres. In this way, there is a sense in which people like me are disliked by everyone, by all the people on both sides of all the debates. And there's a sense in which people like me upset everyone. The founder of this podcast and I used to have conversations about this very thing. We understood that we were going to invariably upset everyone. Not intentionally. As I said in the opening episode of this season, my intention is never to insult or offend someone. But I'm profoundly aware that I'm not really on anyone's side or in anyone's camp. In fact, I'm against tribalism. I mean, I'm a Christian, but in some ways, the church is where I've been rejected the most. The point is that it'd be very difficult, very hard to neatly fit me in some box. With this podcast, it's very possible that one week I'll upset one side, and the next I'll upset the other side, depending on the topic. This podcast is not predicated upon agreement. I'm not looking for people who will agree with me. I'm simply trying to build an audience of people who have a base openness and a base interest. But if you become weary of all the empty polarizations, extremism, and political bias on both sides, and you're looking for nuance, middle ground, and bridge building, this podcast might be for you. I hope so. All right, what do I mean by mediation? It's the ability to identify elements of truth on both sides of an argument, and the ability to take the seeds of truth found on both sides and formulate a mediating position. A concise definition would be that it's about finding the middle ground. Let's use the political issue of police reform as an example. On one hand, you have calls to overhaul and restructure the police force. You have calls to replace the police force, or even calls to dissolve or eradicate the police force and the prison system entirely. On the other hand, you have people defending the status quo, doubling down, and maybe even asking for greater police protection and stronger rights for police officers. So what would a middle ground or a via media look like here? Well, you could take some of the police funding that could be perceived as excessive and unnecessary and reallocate it to services, resources, and programs that promote the common good, like social work, mental health programs, drug addiction resources, and low-income housing. But you could also add programs and resources that cost additional funding, body cameras, bias training, external or third-party ethics committees and oversight committees that create accountability, reduce hypocrisy, and provide disciplinary measures whenever necessary, and various laws and police reforms that reduce certain special protections and privileges and regulate use of force and excessive violence. For all intents and purposes, we still need some kind of police force for the sake of public order, safety, well-being, and stability. Even the voters in Minneapolis, where George Floyd was senselessly killed by a wildly irresponsible police officer, seemed to agree, voting 56% to 43% against the bill in question, at least for now. We'll see what happens. On the other hand, a significant and even radical change to the culture of law enforcement in general and the culture of individual police academies and departments in particular is justified and should be pursued. Hypocrisy, abuse of power, a mentality of being above the law, special protections, lack of internal and external accountability, and of course, the issue of prejudices and biases are all problems that can be dealt with. though I think it is very difficult to make judgments about racism, as such judgments involve knowing the intentions and motivations of a person's heart. This is why I think we should be very careful about labeling someone as racist without knowing anything about them. And no, I don't believe that being a police officer is inherently racist, as if to be a police officer is to be racist. Such reasoning would be an example of simple-mindedness. All cops are not bastards. Talk about a simple-minded, polarized, and extreme slogan. All cops are also certainly not angels. I think we should avoid both over-reverence and over-disdain here. I think that universal judgments, blanket statements, and overgeneralizations are uncalled for in this context, as each person should be judged on the condition of their character. Again, there's nothing inherently wrong with being a cop. Being a police officer does not make one evil or bad, even though I think the position has a corrupting tendency, because power in general has a corrupting potentiality and capacity. The extremist rhetoric that we see here is unhelpful and unfruitful. I am of the belief that, for the most part, extremist rhetoric in general is unproductive. Whether or not you agree with my mediating position on police reform, hopefully the example that I've given displays some of the principles of mediation in action. So why should we pursue mediation? First, I think that open-mindedness is better than closed-mindedness and dogmatism. Ironically, a lack of openness is often the expression of insecurity, whereas openness is actually an expression of confidence. Second, I think that being unbiased is better than being biased and partisan. Polarizations in black and white thinking are often driven by bias. Bias keeps one from being truly open-minded. Third, thinking critically, thoughtfully, and in a nuanced manner is better than thinking uncritically, impulsively, and oversimplistically. Polarizations are often lazy and simple-minded. Fourth, I think that truth is more valuable than human subjectivity. Our emotions and feelings often lead us towards extremes, whereas if we're sincerely searching for the truth, we'll likely find it somewhere in between the two opposing poles. Fifth, I think that empathy is greater than blatant self-interest and self-concern. Polarizations are often the result of a complete lack of empathy or a concern for understanding where the other is coming from. Sixth, tolerance is better than intolerance. Sometimes black and white thinking is an expression of intolerance of alternative or opposing viewpoints. And seventh, being a peacemaker and reconciler is better than being divisive, contentious, hostile, hateful, and an enemy maker, one who vilifies and demonizes those who believe differently. Mediating thinking can build bridges and create unity. Either-or thinking creates division and hostility. But how do I do all this? In order to do it, I must be committed to a sincere search for truth, no matter how inconvenient, no matter where it's found, no matter where it leads. If it means that I'm a conservative and I end up voting for a liberal policy, so be it. If it means I'm liberal and I end up voting for a conservative policy, so be it. In order to do all this, I must become aware of, divorce myself from, and transcend biases and presuppositions. I need to embark on the journey of searching for truth, not the journey of searching for confirmation bias. If I want to become a mediating thinker, I also need to be truly open. If I want to be a mediating thinker, I need to strive for objectivity, even though I'm a subjective human being. I also need to engage in critical thinking. I need to look for nuance and gray areas. I need to scrutinize my own positions with the same scrutiny that I apply to alternative positions and alternative arguments. In order to be a mediating thinker, I need to be a free thinker. I need to transcend labels and camps. I need to think outside of the box and think for myself. In order to think in a mediating fashion, I need to look for common ground, and I need to start pursuing the common good. I need to look for what unites, not what divides. I need to focus on what is best for all, not simply what's best for myself. Let me end by giving some concrete applications. First, expose yourself to differing viewpoints. If you watch CNN, watch Fox News. If you watch Fox News, watch MSNBC. Not simply to critique what you don't like, but also to identify seeds of truth. Read and listen to both sides of an argument. Second, use more neutral news sources and media outlets. Look for news sources and media outlets that are more mediating, more centrist. Third, listen to podcasts on both sides of the spectrum and make sure that they're intellectual equals. Like, if you're liberal, don't just listen to the best of what liberalism has to offer and the worst of what conservatism has to offer. And if you're conservative, don't just listen to the best of what conservatism has to offer and the worst of what liberalism has to offer. Fourth, play devil's advocate with yourself and with others. And finally, always be a peacemaker. Be a bridge builder. Blessed are the peacemakers. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time. This episode, and all episodes of Thinkersensitive, are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.